topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. You're my created desires and personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding prayer, part one. Overview of the broadcast. This broadcast looks at the essence of my message concerning prayer. We start by looking at important principles, starting with the right heart attitude and words. Was then enjoined to avoid presumption. It is noted that prayer is petition in the court of heaven. We discuss authority and prayer in the name of Yahushua, incorrectly called Jesus. It is stressed that Yah can only move on earth through the prayers of believers. It is suggested that short and to the point is frequently most effective. Listeners are encouraged to give themselves and their life over to Yah. It is noted that Yah is not a performing seal and that we are not glove puppets. References made to one flesh bonds and covenant partnerships. References made to being taken out of the formal church, mosque, synagogue, or temple. References made to sensitivity and obedience, and other principles are discussed. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts. Or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. That's www.relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. So today we're going to visit an article that I wrote in 2021, 0904, The Essence of My Message Regarding Prayer. Over the years, I've written a significant amount regarding prayer and published significant lists of prayers as evidenced on the prayer webpage on the website. It therefore seemed appropriate to consolidate all of these writings into one coherent document aligned with my present understanding, hence the document on which this broadcast is based. Section 1 of the document looks at principles. And the first principle we look at is the right heart attitude and words. The Mighty has said, effective prayer relies on the right heart attitude and the right words. Folks, this is so important. Just dashing out some concatenation of words without thought, without being respectful of the Almighty, without coming to Him in love, is futile. He's all powerful. You need to show Him a bit of respect. Then avoid presumption. For many years I've prayed along the lines of, Father, help me to be led by Your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. Shortly before the article was written, I made a very bad business decision, assuming that I was being led. When I realized I'd made a mistake, I was initially very angry with Father. When I first got on my knees to ask what went wrong, He pointedly told me that I did not ask His opinion at the time, so He was not able to help me now. In due course, I came to a place where I was calmer, and on further inquiring, He pointed out to me that we are called to rule on earth by His Spirit, which requires that, as He has said to me many times, you are not a glove puppet, meaning that we have to exercise our own discretion and judgment. So it's important to understand the ways of the Almighty. It's important to not just pray what you feel like praying, because it seems right to you. You need to think it through. You need to seek a relationship with Him. You need to get to a place where you can hear His voice. And then you need to ask Him what He wants you to pray. And that's, speaking from experience, it's not always that easy to do, because one gets carried away with what's going on in your life and what you want to happen in your life and the way you think Father's leading you. And it's really important that you really get in touch with Father and say, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing? What should I be doing? What should I be praying? So accordingly, based on what I just shared a moment ago about my experience, I want to advise a correction in the advice I've given on the website. Do not pray prayers as I've indicated above. Led by Your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. You've got to exercise your discretion and your will and your judgment. He will lead you in your relationship with Him and in your knowledge of Him, But he will not do that in your everyday life, in your commercial life, in your family life, etc. Note that for the same reasons, there are limitations on prayers like open the doors you want open in my life, close the doors you want closed, and bring the people you want into my life and take the people you do not want in my life out. These prayers are applicable to new believers and inexperienced believers. They are not applicable as you grow and mature and are expected to take responsibility for your actions in life and in service to Father. It's really important to recognize that we must exercise discretion, judgment, and discernment in our day-to-day decision-making, both in general living and in commerce and in ministry. So apologies if you've taken me at my word and been praying as above and making decisions accordingly. Folks, it's an ongoing journey, and I continue to see that I'm continuing to learn, even after more than 29 years. Excuse me. We will be judged at the end of our lives, depending on what we have done, the decisions we've taken, the words we've spoken, the things we've done. If we were led by the Spirit every second of every day, there'd be nothing to reward us for. Think about it. You need to exercise your will. So you need to think things through and don't just rush in and do things because you think you're being led. Then petition in the court of heaven. Prayer is petition to the court of heaven. A petition to a court is called a prayer. Thus a prayer is a petition to the court of heaven. That is to Yah himself as the judge of all the earth. You should not pray to Yeshua. There are prayers that are extremely powerful and prayers that have some value. And the vast majority of prayers are meaningless or presumptuous or so wrong that they are sinful and can open the door for demonic attack or occupation. Note that fellowship with Father and conversation with him is not prayer. It is fellowship or conversation. Prayer is specifically when you're requesting something that needs an action on the part of Father to your benefit or to the benefit to someone else you're praying for. So just to draw that distinction more clearly, a prayer is a petition to the court. It says, Father, I ask you to do X, Y, Z in my life. I ask you for this, I ask you for that. A conversation is not prayer. So saying, well, I'm going to go and pray about it, when you actually are going to go and get quiet or get on your knees and say, Father, what do I do now? How do I counsel this person? That's not prayer. That's conversation. And Father wants us to have conversation with him. He wants us to talk to him about anything and everything. He wants to be actively involved in our lives, and he wants you to talk to him, and he wants you to hear him. And as I've talked about on other programs, other broadcasts, it is possible to hear him very clearly. It just takes time and experience. In authority in the name of Yahushua. You may know Yahushua as Jesus, but you really shouldn't use that name. It's a blasphemous name, as I've explained in previous broadcasts. Note that you can only pray with authority in the name of Yeshua once you have the revelation of the authority that he gained through his sinless life and death, and that he delegated that authority to those who follow his example and leadership and serve the Almighty faithfully. Have a look at the web page on the miracle of Yeshua's death. It'll give you a lot of insight into what I've just said. Then prayer in the name of Yeshua. Only prayers by new believers with regard to combat against the satanic and demonic realm should be prayed in the name of Yeshua. All other prayers should be prayed directly to Father Yah. And this is drawing on the authority that Yeshua earned by living a life without sin and dying the way he did. Then prayer is not prescription, it's not demand. Prayer should be humble. It is not prescriptive, presumptuous, or demanding. Many mistake prayer in presumption for prayer in emunah, prayer in faith. The most effective prayer is with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, but this is only possible when the Spirit moves on you to pray in this manner. One short prayer in this heart attitude, inspired by His Spirit, can achieve major breakthroughs and movements. So this thing about positive confessions, etc., it's actually quite silly. Father knows the reality, so be honest with him about the reality. Father, I'm bankrupt. I've got no money. I desperately need money. Please help me. Please show me what I'm doing that's getting in the way of my finances. Just be honest and open with him. Don't go with all this fancy stuff. You're bankrupt and you say, I'm blessed and I have abundance and I have a new car and a new house. And just tell him the truth. He knows the truth. Otherwise you're lying and you're going to bring judgment on yourself. Then Yah can only move on earth through the prayers of believers. It is vital to recognize that Yah gave all authority on earth to Adam, who then proceeded to give it to Satan. Yeshua regained this authority, but immediately handed it over to those who followed him. Thus Yah can do nothing on earth save that a son or daughter of Adam first prays that thing into existence in the name of King Yeshua. Thus, if you're truly in tune with Yah, you may find yourself praying some remarkable and even unsettling things. Expecting Yah to do something in your life if you have not first requested it and given him permission is futile. So if you go through life as a believer, believing that Father is doing things that you haven't given him permission to do, that you haven't asked him for, or that you don't have a known intercessor asking for on your behalf, that's not Yah, folks. He can't do anything unless a believer asks for it first. And that goes for the whole story. The flood, so-called flood, the massive comet strike and the flooding and everything that went with it were a consequence of Noah saying, Father, I ask you to bring a flood on the earth. Yah then brought the comet, flooded the earth, and in the process, in preparation, showed Noah how to build the boat. I assume Noah said, please help me to build the boat. Collected all the animals, got inside, strapped everything down, and rode the storm for whatever, 8 months or whatever it was. Then short and to the point is frequently most effective. Yeshua spoke against praying with many words. Pray concise and to-the-point prayers. Lengthy prayers prayed with your understanding are likely to get in the way of Yah and not help him. He needs crisp, clear prayers that give him maximum room to act. The prayers that we'll discuss in the second broadcast accord with this recommendation and collectively represent a very powerful and effective set of prayers that I've prayed with greater or lesser regularity, mostly for over 2 decades. Significant effect. Frankly, if you're not praying most of those prayers regularly, you're unlikely to be really serving Father in any real sense. It's so important to give Father permission to act in your life. It's so important to interact with him in a way that allows him to do what he wants to do. Father, let your will be done in my life. Things like that. Judge me severely, correct me harshly. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll go into quite a few prayers next week. And I just encourage you to, if you're not getting results from your prayers, listen to this broadcast and see what you can do to change that. Give yourself and your life over to Yah. Seek his direction. One of the most important decisions that one can make as a believer is to recognize that one knows so little and understands so little, that prayers prayed with your understanding and a life lived according to your understanding are likely to be at best futile and at worst highly destructive. Once you've reached this realization, the next thing to do is to understand that the best solution is to ask Yah to take charge of your life and give you direction by his Spirit. With the caveat that you have to exercise discretion and discernment and exercise your will. So it's a two-way street. It's a reciprocal relationship. When I pray to Yah formally, usually at the end of the day before going to sleep, I generally open, Father, I thank you for this day and for your chesed and your chen, your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace and your favor. I ask you for wisdom and understanding in all that I do. I see that all that I do, full stop. I see the above as foundational for day-to-day living. Chesed is covenant love. It embraces the concepts of love, loving kindness. And chen is favor, grace, mercy. I use those Hebrew words in preference to the English because the English language in that case of those words is corrupt, and the meaning that we attach to love, loving kindness, mercy, grace, favor tends to be a bit off the mark. So my choice is to use chesed and chen. You get used to it after a while. There's a limited number of English words that you should avoid and replace with the Hebrew, and I try and make a point of using those in these broadcasts so that you can learn them. And Yah is not a performing seal. Most of the prayers prayed by most people instruct Father as what he should do. That is not acceptable. Relating to such prayers, Father has said to me, I am not a performing seal. Folks, telling Father what to do, telling him, you know, Father, let your will be done in the situation, is much more powerful. And Father, I want you to beat up Joe because he's stolen money from me, etc., etc., etc. Well, maybe Joe stole the money because you were in sin and it was a judgment against you. So you need to get down on your knees and say, Father, why was Joe able to steal that money from me? Then we're not glove puppets. As noted earlier, Yah has said to me, James, you are not a glove puppet. In other words, we're required to exercise free will and discretion and work things out, and not presume that Father will drive us like glove puppets. This is important to keep in mind when praying and when considering life with Father in general. One needs to learn to hear Father and go to him and consult with him. Expecting Father just to take charge of your life and bring this person in and take that person out and do this and do that and do the next thing is not wise. If you've just come to belief, or you've been a nominal believer and you've suddenly got a real revelation of Father and you're actively seeking to serve him and you've just got filled with the Spirit, he will lead you in that way for the first few months or maybe even the first couple of years. Bring people in, take people out, open doors, close doors, lead by his Spirit. But there comes a time when he's going to stand back and say, James, you are now mature in your knowledge of me. You need to stand on your own two feet. Then One Flesh Bonds. There are a range of important prayers for provision and protection. The exact wording may vary depending on the extent to which you have faith for these things. However, note that if you are one flesh with one or more other human beings, and they are not in close alignment and harmony with you, what you're believing for and doing, these prayers will constantly be frustrated by hindering spirits, demons that obstruct the flow of finances, blessings, etc. Remember that a house divided against itself cannot stand, and conversely, unity is strength. Where you have illegal or residual one flesh sexual bonds, see the articles relating to the separation of a man and woman for a complete set of prayers and procedures to cut these ties. See the essence of message, separation of man and woman, and also implications of careless sexual activity for a deeper discussion of this. Where you have legal ties, you need to work out what you need to do to get the person or persons with whom you have those ties into alignment with you, if you're the male, or for you to get in alignment with them if you're the female. Unless you do this, your prayers will be hindered. This applies particularly to finance. Note that if you're one flesh with another who's not serving Yah, or one who is but who gets into fear, rebellion, treachery, etc., the the anointing will be drained out of you and you'll become weak. Conversely, there will be limits on the extent to which you are able to answer prayers under such circumstances. As a general principle, if you're married to an unbeliever, Father will allow you to divorce. Try and get them to come to belief, and if they won't, divorce them. If you are sexually joined to one or more other people and you're in financial difficulty, then it's because there's no unity in that relationship, and that's more difficult than it seems. If you're living apart, it's very difficult to be in harmony. Then taken out of the formal church stroke mosque stroke synagogue stroke temple. By the way, once you start praying the prayers given here, it is probable that if you're still in formal religion, Yah will take you out fairly quickly, or very quickly in fact. You also need to worship regularly, not feel-good worship, definitely not worshiping Yeshua or Jesus, but worship that lifts Yah up and makes him feel good, and that humbly requests him to move in your life. See the webpage Recommended Worship Songs for a collection of songs that I've used for years and keep going back to. See also some powerful worship songs, another webpage. There are many others, but not that I know of, but none that I know of that have the significance and anointing of those listed there. If you have a song that you really like, I'd be delighted to hear about it. Please drop me an email. It's james@endtimeissueministries.org. And I would love to hear from you. But the key point is that as you get closer to Father, you will get further away from organized religion. Organized religion is not Father's way of doing things. Whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, whatever, Hindu, doesn't matter. There is so much error in formal religion. As you pray for guidance, as you pray for Father to act in your life, you will find yourself feeling uncomfortable, and if you start talking about what Father's showing you, you'll probably get kicked out. I've been kicked out of quite a few churches. In sensitivity and obedience, praying the prayers is not enough. You need to be sensitive and obedient. Yah can start closing a door, but you can storm through it or block it open or ignore it or do whatever. You can ignore his voice. You need to practice hearing his voice. You need to get on your knees or on your face so you can hear better. You need to do things because you think you hear his voice. If you think Yah has spoken to you, then act. If you're unsure, then ask for confirmation or guidance. But if it is not a massive issue, then just tell him you're going to do what you think he's told you to do and do it. Check in with him if you did it right. Ask him to guide you. Close and open doors, etc. Spending hours or days or weeks checking and double-checking is not helpful. Walk by emunah, faith. Just do it. Emunah is another Hebrew word. Faith has its connotations that are undesirable. Regarding expecting other people to confirm and advise you, if you're young and inexperienced, well, maybe for a while. But Yah wants you to hear him and obey him. It is better to do something because you think Yah told you to do it, that are not sure, than it is to not do that thing. I learned very early on when I was learning to hear his voice clearly that if I thought I heard his voice and I didn't do what he told me to do, which ranged from give $5 to that beggar or pick up that hitchhiker or whatever and take the hitchhiker. I mean, sometimes I would drive past the hitchhiker, I'd be convicted that I'd said that I wanted to hear Father's voice. I'd turn around, do a U-turn on the highway, probably go back 5 or 10, 15 miles, come around, pick the guy up, discover that it was a believer in straitened circumstances who'd been asking Father for a believer to help him. And I was able to help them. And it's such a blessing. So just go for it. Do what he asked you to do. Yah wants obedient servants, and servants do not argue with their master. Yes, we do, but that is not what Yah wants. And there's a distinction between being a child of Yah, a servant of Yah, a friend of Yah. They're all different dimensions. But we need to treat Father with respect. You have to go through being a servant to get to being a friend and a confidant. It will likely take some years before Yah takes you into his confidence and asks your opinion and consults with you the way he did, for example, with Abram, Noah, Moshe, Moses, Yeshua. And unless you really work at it, you're not very likely to get there. You do not get to become the friend of Yah by accident. You get there through commitment and hard work and laying down your life. If it's a really big thing, like sell everything, give it to the poor and move halfway around the world, then it is reasonable to do a bit of checking and ask for confirmation. But even then, there is a point at which Yah does not expect even such a decision to take you much time. When he tells you to raise your staff over the sea and tell it to open in front of millions of people, Yah does not want you to take 5 months of arguing and asking him for confirmation. He expects you to do it now, and if you get it wrong, take the risk of making a fool of yourself. The chances are you did hear him, because his ways are foolishness to the ordinary man, including almost all those who came to believe. So really important, folks, just go for it. Do the best you can and ask him to lead you and correct you and teach you, etc. Then if you disagree with me and with what's on the End Time Issues Ministries website, if you disagree with what's on the website or what I'm saying now, taking account of the fact that particularly some of the older articles do contain error and taking account of the fact that I might still have error I've not recognized, then you're welcome to let me know you think I'm in error. But taking account that I've prayed most of the prayers presented here for over more than a decade, some for over 2 decades, some for 3 decades, that I've been through all the sanctification processes I mentioned on the website and others, and that I've fasted extensively, I ask you to understand that I will not pay much attention to what you have to say in disagreement with me unless you've gone through a similar cleansing process. So rather than dismissing me as a madman or heretic, rather than walking away and cutting me out of your life, rather than speaking ill of me, pray all the prayer contained in this article and this broadcast and next week's broadcast, sincerely and regularly. Examine your life and clean it up comprehensively. Go on at least one series of 7 3-day fasts at 7-day intervals. Walk the road you find yourself on after the fast for 6 months. And then if you still disagree with me, we can sit down and talk. I fully expect that if you do what I've outlined here, you will almost certainly agree with me on all the critical issues, and you will be far closer to Yah than you have ever imagined possible. A high level of sanctification and hard work is required to come to a deep personal relationship with Yah and a clear understanding of what is truth. Folks, this is so important. Until I started fasting, I was in serious error, and even after several fasts, I was still cleaning up and correcting. I strongly recommend you fast. At least 3 days at a stretch, weekly intervals, 7 fasts. Or you could do 7-day fasts at monthly intervals, or 21-day fasts at 6-month intervals. Fast as you feel led. There is no concrete rule. Then why Yah could do much greater works thousands of years ago, this relates to level of anointing and level of prayer. Have you ever wondered why Yah does not perform the sort of mighty works he performed in the time of Noah, of Abram, of Moses, of Elijah, Yahushua? The flood, fire and brimstone from heaven, the parting of the Red Sea, fire from heaven on a smaller scale, storms calmed, continuous streams of highly visible miracle healings, etc. One thing to notice in the above examples is that the scale and dramatic scope of events became less with the passage of time and has continued to become less to the present age. Why is this? Firstly, the level of relationship of the believers with Yah, of those closest to Yah, has declined continuously over this period. Secondly, the level of anointing of the most anointed believers on earth has declined to the point where today Yah says the most powerfully anointed person on earth is operating under less than half the anointing that Yeshua operated under. In fact, I think it's even less than that. I question what I said. The level of authority of the most senior members of Yah's family on earth has also declined in proportion to the above. The number of highly anointed ones has declined. The level of prayer and the nature of prayer has declined. Satan's forces on earth have become much more knowledgeable in direct proportion to the extent to which those who believe have become increasingly ignorant of the matters of Yah and deviated from truth. Satan's forces on earth have become proportionally more powerful and numerous in proportion to the degradation in power and number of the believers. Almost the entire Christian religion, Muslim religion, Jewish religion, etc., are in fact serving Satan through the wrong names, wrong Sabbaths, etc. The issues that have been discussed in previous broadcasts. We've reached a point where for anything really visibly dramatic to happen on Yah's behalf on earth, there needs to be a large group of believers in perfect harmony and agreement. And at present, it is a challenge to get even two who are anointed and committed to agree, let alone pray in harmony. Yah is massively hampered by the weakness and lackluster conduct of those of us who claim at some level to have a relationship with him. Added to which, if he did want to do something, most would argue that it was not in the Bible and therefore would not listen to him. Have you ever wondered what Noah did without the Bible, or Moses for that matter, or Abram, or David, or Elijah? And certainly Moses, Abram, Noah didn't have Bibles. They did very well without it. They did some pretty dramatic stuff without the Bible. The Bible is a distraction, folks. There was no biblical precedent. Therefore, according to most believers today, it could not have been Yah who brought the flood. In fact, Noah would probably be kicked out of just about every church, mosque, synagogue, and temple on the planet today if he came warning of coming judgment. Folks, the satanic forces are dominating the earth. It's important to realize that you are involved in a battle, whether you are actively fighting against them by the standards that you apply and the way you live your life, whether you're actually acquiescing and partnering with them through your ignorance and your indifference. Same can be said of Abram, Moses, Elijah, Yeshua. They would all be kicked out of the modern religious assemblies for failing to submit to the pastor, the priest, the imam, the rabbi, and teaching doctrines that are not in the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, etc. of their time. In fact, that is basically why Yeshua was executed. He was doing things that were contrary to the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests, read pastor and church council. If you've not been kicked out of a church recently, you need to ask yourself what you're doing to cozy up to the devil. So the bottom line, for Satan to be sent to the pit, somebody had to do something that was not set out in the Bible. If it was set out in the Bible in detail, Satan would have prevented it from happening, but it happened quietly and without fanfare. Likewise, Yeshua will not return in response to wide publicity as keep happening at present. He said he would come as a thief in the night, not appearing to people all over the place telling them he's coming soon and going to take them away from all the suffering, etc. What are you going to do differently going forward in order to challenge the status quo? In other words, Satan in the religious assemblies. And make a difference on earth for Yah. Try praying the important prayers that we'll discuss next week and other prayers in this broadcast next week. Please think about this and pray about this. It's vital to understand this if you're to overcome in this age and to make a difference in your service of Yah. Folks, if you don't have a real revelation that you're doing battle with the forces of darkness and they're trying to trip you up, etc., that's probably because you're living peacefully with them and you're not a threat to them. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. So section two, and we'll just touch on it today and then we'll get into it in more detail. Most important prayers. Firstly, judgment. In my opinion, if you are to faithfully serve Father to the end, following the most important prayers that should be prayed regularly. The single most important prayer that one could pray, and the one prayer I would choose if I was limited to praying only one prayer for the rest of my life, His father judged me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. I firmly believe that if you're sensitive to the resulting leading and have a munah faith, that Yah will not test you beyond what you can endure. You will learn much from this prayer and will stay on track with Father no matter what happens. Anytime something goes wrong, in inverted commas, get on your knees before Father and ask him what you did wrong. Judgment can take the form of an accident, of illness, lost business. Anything that causes you loss or suffering may point to judgment. Note that if you're walking free of sin and error, you will not experience illness, loss, etc. See what is required to live above sin on the website. Folks, this whole thing of judgment is just so, so important. And I want to make a distinction. Judgment will deal with sin. It won't deal with bad decisions. And I've learned this the hard way recently. It's possible to walk close to Father, to pray His will into existence, to hear His voice, and yet still make bad business decisions, bad relationship decisions, bad household decisions, because you didn't consult Him on those points. So important. He can only guide you if you ask Him. Only pray this prayer about judgment severely if you're sincere and willing to make the adjustments that you find yourself needing to make. One must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of Almighty and be obedient to His leading. This may seem like an alarming prayer, but provided it is prefaced by reference to Father's Chesed, His loving kindness, His mercy, His loving kindness, His mercy and grace, as above, He will moderate His judgments within your capacity to cope with them. Remember, He's your Father. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Praying for His judgment is the safest thing you can do. Trust Him totally. Remember, if you're not judged in this life, you'll be judged on the day of your judgment. Rather be judged now while there's still time to course correct, rather than end up in hell for a season. Be sensitive to things happening and then seek Him to know why you've been judged and how to correct. Judgments can be very small or they can be major, such as a motor accident or near accident. No matter what it is, if something goes wrong and you've prayed for judgment, get on your knees, ask Him to show you what you've done wrong, repent, course correct, and get back on track. If you will do this on a consistent basis, you will find that after a few years, the way you're living your life has changed dramatically. I started praying, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly in 1998 or thereabouts. I've prayed it fairly regularly since about 2010. And I've had numerous judgments, but I've always been able to cope with them. A couple of minor car accidents, a couple of ruptured teeth, various other things. He will not judge you beyond what you can handle. So to wrap up, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with your Almighty Creator right now? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? And that means you consult Him and you ask His opinion, ask Him what you should do. Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. So part of getting to what I've just outlined is that you pray the correct prayers, the most appropriate prayers, and we'll get on to the actual prayers next week. As I say, many of them I've prayed for a long time. And you don't have to follow my teaching slavishly. I'm not giving you a recipe. I'm sharing with you my experience, my recommendations, what's worked for me. You need to work it out for yourself. Let Him help you. Let Him guide you. Let Him lead you. Ask Him. Talk to Him. Hear Him. He wants to help you. He wants you to become His friend. But you need to decide that you want to become his friend. He's your friend. Just by definition, once you become a believer, he's a friend to you. Whether you can be a friend to him, whether you understand his priorities, whether you understand what's important to him, whether you pray his will into existence on the earth, is a whole different ballgame. And I strongly recommend that you go for it. If you decide to do that, email me and I'll help you. So key documents in a video on the website menu. Compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, and another to Muslims, another to Jews, another to other faiths, and another to unbelievers. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. It's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts. Or else, if you search on Google for quote relationship with Creator Radio unquote, you'll find that there are a number of podcast websites where you can find these recordings. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 to May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. If you scroll down any web page, some way down the right-hand sidebar, you'll find the Google search, which is very flexible, very powerful. There's a lot of information hidden on that site, and you'll find it there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Likewise, email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone, that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, in closing, Father created us to have a deep personal relationship with him. If you do not yet have such a deep personal relationship, he would like you to start seeking that today. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, or anything in between. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nation. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. He wants you to become his friend. And I cannot encourage you enough. If you become his friend, if you draw close to him, the reward in the life to come is huge. If you don't do that, if you just potter along, you're going to be so disappointed when you die. Thanks so much. Good night. Drop me an email. Bye.